Father God, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the liberty we have, the freedom we have to come together to this place today, Lord. And thank you for your life, Lord. Thank you for giving your life for us and pouring out so abundantly upon us today. And we know that your joy will sustain us. Lord, I ask you to unveil our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, to receive your word today. I ask you to grant me utterance to speak in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Some people are one of these days mentality, you know. One of these days I'll give my life to God. One of these days I'll really commit myself to Him. When I retire, maybe then I'll commit myself to God. How many know that one of these days rarely ever comes for those who say one of these days? Why? Because God is the God of right now and of today. And He wants us right now to know Him, right now to be saved, right now to serve Him. Because time is of the essence. The night is coming when no man shall work. We see that day approaching. And right now we have opportunity. It's while we have opportunity, let us do good unto all. Amen. Let's live. Let's serve people. We know that Jesus came because He loves people, right? Jesus came because He loves people. Amen. He loves us. Yeah. The greatest commandment of all is that we would love Him. We would love God, right? With all our heart, soul, strength, mind, right? The whole thing. And that we would do what? The second is like unto the first, to love neighbor, right? To love one another. And if you do these two things, if you love God and you love others, you fulfill all the requirements of the law right there. Amen? It sums it all up. Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law for us. But we are to walk out in love now. We are to love. That's what pleases the Father. You know what pleases the Father? When He sees you and I coming together, according to Psalms 133, in unity, when we unite our hearts together, we work very hard as a church to maintain unity. It doesn't mean we're not going to have our moments, but it does mean that if we all, as individuals, will be responsible, amen, to love and to work at keeping peace among ourselves. How many know within a marriage it's the same way? It takes two, right? It takes a cooperative effort on both. If you both work on your marriage, it will work. People who are in arranged marriages often do better than people who had a choice. And the reason why is because they went into the marriage with an understanding that this is something that we're going to have to work on. And whenever you get people together, we're going to have problems. Amen? Why? Because I'm the problem. You're the problem. We're all born with a problem nature. So there's going to be our moments. We have our disagreements or our spats or whatever it is. But what really pleases the Lord is that we do the right thing and that we're responsible. And when that happens, that we work it out together. And we create an environment of peace where the Lord is welcomed in. You know, the Lord doesn't want to be in a place where there's contention. And thank God we have that atmosphere, but we have to maintain that. It pleases the Lord. He's pleased, well pleased with a congregation who works to maintain unity. And you've heard me say this before, you understand this, but the only way that we really have unity is by staying tuned in to the Lord. Right? You remember the illustration of the tuning fork, right? You don't tune a piano to another piano. You know, sometimes people are trying to tune themselves to the pastor or tune themselves to this brother or this sister. You tune yourself to Jesus. Amen. And we all tune ourselves to the same standard, the same, right? He is our standard. Then we have peace. We have unity. Amen? First with God and then with one another. Isn't that what the problem with the world is today? Everybody talks about peace, wanting peace, trying to negotiate peace. But there's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. There's no peace apart from the Prince of Peace. There's not going to be peace on earth until the Prince of Peace returns. No amount of negotiating. Amen? The politicians are working very hard. They have good intentions. But you're not going to have peace until we return to the author of peace. And so that's what works. And because we're worshipers, and even when we do have our moments, our weak moments, I've had at least one in my lifetime. Maybe you've had more, but when we have our weak moments, we just take responsibility, right? Right away, deal with it, okay. And we move on. Just move on. And the Lord is pleased. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's the oil of His Spirit is released, even as Aaron is a type of Christ, our high priest. Amen. As it flowed down the beard onto the garments represent the body of Christ. When we're together in unity, it's like the dew on Mount Hermon. Amen. It's a beautiful thing that God releases His fragrance, His presence upon a people that's unified. So let's work and continue to work very hard at maintaining unity. Amen. And if we catch each other starting to get off track, if you catch me getting off track or saying something that I shouldn't, you have my permission to gently correct me. All right. I really pray and I say, Lord, I want to be faceless. I don't want people to follow me. I want people to follow you. But I want to be an example. And all of us are called to be examples to the flock. Amen? Examples to one another. To lead by example. And I know that if we can get ourselves out of the way, then we'll have Him. He'll come through. And it's the Lord that people need. It's the Lord that people are actually looking for. But they don't know where to find Him. So the Lord says, I'm seeking to save, amen, that which is lost. I'm looking for those who are lost. And you know He's looking for those who are lost through you and through me too. He's asking that we will make ourselves available to be a witness for Him, to talk to people for Him. I wanted to just kind of lay a little foundation for today's message in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm just going to read four verses. If you'd listen, please. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. I believe there's two things being mentioned here. The coming of our Lord, amen, when He comes in clouds of glory, and He's going to come, He's going to reign from His throne in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that He shall reign over all the earth. The Lord is going to return to this earth someday. It says, the angel said, as they saw Him ascending into heaven, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you saw going into heaven, what, is going to come again in like manner. He's coming again. He's coming in clouds of glory, folks. But there's also something else mentioned here. It's the gathering together. And I believe this is the rapture of the church. That there's also going to be a catching away. That the Lord is going to come for His bride. Amen. He didn't purchase His bride so that she could go through the great tribulation. I don't believe that is what Scripture teaches. But He purchased us, His bride, so that we would be beautiful, be ready for the time when He has gone away. He shall return again, like He said, and receive us unto Himself. And there's going to be a consummation of the marriage. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have a great celebration in heaven. And then the Lord is going to return, and He's going to pour out His wrath on all of those who have refused the love of God that they might be saved. You see, God has lavished His love, amen, upon us. And He's lavishing His love. He's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. In the earth, many people are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus. They're experiencing the love of God for themselves. But there are those who are rejecting God's love. They're rejecting what He has done for them. And for those who reject Him, He's going to come this time not to be spat upon, not to be mocked, not to be crucified, but He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? He's coming with a roar, and He's going to execute judgment on this world. And I tell you what, I don't want to be here for that. How about you? He says, you get yourself ready because I'm coming. you watch and you pray always to be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. We can't, amen, get ourselves ready except that we get ready in His presence. He's the one that makes us beautiful. He's the one that prepares us, amen. It's not about doing some church thing. It's about knowing Him. It's about having a relationship with the living God. There are many people who do the church thing or they practice religion, but they don't know the God of Christianity. Are you with me? We must know Him. This is eternal life. Do you know His voice? Can you hear His voice? Do you know when the Lord is speaking to you? Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice. They follow Me. I know them," He said. "They follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life." But He said in verse 2, "Don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled by, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." You see, there were some that were circulating at that time letters saying that they had missed the day of the Lord, that the Lord had already come and they had missed out on it. And He said in verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day," everybody say "that day," "will not come unless the falling away," say "falling away," "comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." Who would that be? The Antichrist, yes. So before that happens, before the great day of the Lord, which is not a pleasant day, is a day of wrath, according to the prophet Joel, amen, it's not going to be a pleasant time on the earth. But in that day, when He returns, He will be returning with 10,000 of His what? Saints. In other words, now is the time of salvation. Now is a time of preparation. Prepare yourself. You see, the Bible says that in the days of Noah, that the people were unaware of what was coming. They did not believe the message that Noah had. It says for 120 years, he was a preacher of righteousness, and many refused to listen to the message of Noah. Likewise, today, people are refusing to listen or heed the message of the gospel today. And it's going to happen as it did in the days of Noah, that they knew not until the day they entered into the ark and the Lord closed that door. And the flood took them away. Folks, this time it's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. God is going to renovate this planet. Amen. And He says, "I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to restore all things." That day is coming. But right now is the time that God is lavishing His grace and His love is being poured out. For whoever will receive Him, they can become sons and daughters. Amen. Of God. They can be born again. And they can be ready. Hallelujah. For that day. And they don't have to fear death. Because, amen, there's no fear in His love. When we abide in His love, there is no fear. But it says that let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Now, that word apostasia, it means a defection from truth. A defection from truth, falling away. There's going to be an apostasy. We'll call it apostasy. What is an apostasy? It means that people are going to forsake or walk away from the faith. Paul told Timothy that in the latter times, some will give heed. They'll begin to listen to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Some will depart from the faith and they will give heed to seducing spirits that tell them what they really want to hear, but not what they need to hear. I don't know about you, but I want to hear what I need to hear. I want to know what is authentic, what is truth. I mean, I don't want somebody to tell me good things and fool me. I want to know what God says. And so I pray, God, give me ears to hear Your voice. If I don't hear Him, then I have nothing to go by. I have no light, no revelation. Then we're just doing some thing. Are you with me? We're just doing some church thing. You see, we can get good at doing church and miss God. There are a lot of churches that are just doing church, but they don't have God. They have emotionalism. They have hype. They have bells and whistles and all the greatest programs. But if they don't have Jesus Christ, what do you have? You have nothing but a social club. I don't know about you, but I want His presence. I want His presence more than anything. And if people aren't pleased with the way we do things here, as long as we're doing it God's way and God says, right on, we're good. Amen? Amen. I want God to say, okay, you're doing good. Because sometimes people just ain't going to like you. I know you didn't know that, but yeah. Sometimes they just don't like you. But I have to say, well, God, what do you think? How are we? And He says, I love you. I like you and I love you. Okay, we're good, God. Check yourself out. Make sure that is what's going on. Make sure you are in right standing with God. Amen? You know, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon was reflecting back on a life that, for the most part, was not lived for God. And this is a man who had great encounters with the Lord early on in his life. And in chapter 8 and verse 11, this is a verse that comes back to me often, and I want to share this with you as a foundation. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. In the New Living Translation in verse 11 says this, when a crime is not punished quickly, people feel it is safe to do wrong. Has anybody besides myself been there, done that? Well, I got away with it that time. Solomon really loved the Lord at one time. At one time, he'd given this uncommon offering of 1,000 burnt offerings. I mean, this was an incredible sacrificial offering that he brought to God because he loved God so much. And after that, God appeared to him in a dream. And he said, Solomon, what shall I give you? How many ever dreamed when you watched those silly shows where they're rubbing the bottle and the genie appears and he says, well, what, you get 3 wishes. Of course, I hope you don't believe that's a good thing for today, but or any time, actually. That's demonic. How many know that's demonic, right? But you'll get a genie, all right? You'll get a demon is what it is, yeah. And the demon may even look pretty, at least initially. But have you ever just kind of fantasized with if you were to be the person that received that and said, 3 riches, whoa, what would I want? I want $1 billion. What would we ask for if God showed up and said, what can I give you? What can I do for you? Ask anything. What can I do for you? What would we say? What would our first impression be? Well, Lord, a facelift would be nice. I mean, have you ever thought about that? Solomon answered the right way, didn't he? Solomon asked for wisdom so that he could lead God's people. His reply is in 1 Kings 3:9. He said this, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. And Solomon, as you remember, had also built this magnificent temple, this beautiful temple. None like, of all the wonders in the earth, there was nothing that compared to the temple of Solomon. And after he did that, guess what? The Lord showed up a second time. The problem was Solomon's focus changed. Somewhere along the line, he lost focus. He had broken focus. And he began to shift away from the things of God and he began to turn to the world, the things of this world. In 1 Kings 11:1, it says, King Solomon loved many foreign women. Well, I married a foreign lady, but I love her very much. So follow through with this. We got to understand what the deal was, right? As well as the daughter of Pharaoh. women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives did what? Turned his heart away from the Lord. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. What was Solomon's problem? Number one, everybody listen, because this is vitally important for all of us here, is Solomon stopped listening to the voice of God. He stopped listening to the voice of God. He disobeyed the Lord and he married women who worshipped other gods. It wasn't the fact that they were foreign women, it was that they were worshipping idols. And he disregarded God's instruction to him. He disobeyed. So as a result, number two, he became idolatrous. What did he do? He put his wives before the Lord. Now, I want you to hear this. This happens very often in the body of Christ, that we put our personal relationships on the earth before our relationship with the Lord. Many times, people will compromise their relationship with the Lord for an earthly relationship. The Lord warns us as his people, even through the Apostle Paul, as he spoke to the Corinthians, that we are not to be unequally yoked in covenant with an unbeliever. And yet people will meet this nice guy or this wonderful lady and they just, well, yeah, they're not Christians, but maybe I'll marry them and I'll convert them later. Or they compromise and they get married to someone who's not a believer and then they have all kinds of trouble. Why? Because we don't listen to the voice of God. We become idolatrous when we don't listen to his voice. And as Solomon, he put his wives before the Lord. And then we're living our life saying, God help me. God help me out of this. God help me with that. Because of decisions that we made that were not passed before the desk of our Father. Sometimes it's like, I really don't want to hear from God because God is probably going to tell me it's not okay. Of course, none of us have ever done that before. But hopefully we learn from our mistakes. Amen? We learn that it doesn't work unless we're listening to the voice of God. You know, it's the sins that we excuse that cause us the most trouble. We all make mistakes. But it's the sins that we excuse that cause us the most trouble. Some of us are dealing with some things in our lives that we don't like about us, and we're asking God for grace to help us overcome it. Anybody here beside myself? And so as a result, we need to focus in on the Lord. We need to draw grace from Him so that we can overcome the flesh. It's really not so much the devil as it is our own flesh that we're dealing with here. If you can get your flesh under submission to the Spirit by being a worshiper and staying saturated in God, the devil can't touch you. And he's not going to even mess with you because he's going to know, well, I've tried, I've worked on that one incessantly, and they are not yielding a bit. Come on, boys, let's quit wasting our time on that one. We'll go find someone over here who likes to compromise. We'll go over here to someone who's kind of like wavering a little bit and, well, yeah, no big deal. God understands. We're all sinners, saved by grace. You know what I don't like about that? We're all sinners, saved by grace. When God saves you, He delivers you from the power of sin. So don't call yourself a sinner. Call yourself a saint in Christ. I didn't say that we don't make mistakes or we don't sin. I'm saying that by identity, you are no longer a sinner, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. That's our identity. That's the identity that we live out of. That's the understanding that we have to live out of. Otherwise, if I believe I'm just a sinner saved by grace, then you will live like a sinner. People who say that usually live like that because that's their thinking. God says, quit thinking like that. I have broken the power of the Egyptian. Amen? You saw what I did to the Egyptian and how I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. I brought you out of Egypt. You don't have to go back there. It is a choice if you want to go back there, but you don't have to. Solomon compromised. He quit listening to God. He became idolatrous. Here's this man that did tremendous things for God. Was visited twice. I mean, he had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. What did he do? He sold out. He went down the slippery slope of the backslider. See, just like he said, he assumed that because there were no immediate problems, that just deviating from God's commandment was no big deal. Because the judgment against an evil deed isn't executed speedily. The hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do wickedness or evil. You hear that, folks? We need to understand something, that there are laws in effect here. There is the law of God and the law of the Spirit as a believer too. That if we ignore that still small voice that's warning us and telling us don't do it, then there are consequences for believers as well. And even though we may not see anything right now, how many know that those things do catch up to you? Eventually, what has been sown by seed is going to sprout. And if you don't deal with it and you don't let God deal with your heart, then it's going to turn into something really ugly. And I don't know about you, but I've met a few Christians that have become spiritually very ugly. There's nothing worse than a believer, a follower of Jesus, who backslides. There's nothing worse than that. As a matter of fact, because of Solomon's poor testimony, he gave opportunity for unbelievers, are you hearing me, to blaspheme God and say, ha, there's your golden boy. See, whatever we do is either going to honor or dishonor our Father in heaven. And we want to live for His glory. We want to live for His honor. And that means there's a responsibility on my part to be a worshiper of God, to seek God, amen, to be saturated in God, to be clothed in His full armor, and to resist the devil. And when I resist the devil, he will realize that I'm not giving in and he's going to leave because he's saying we're just wasting our time. But if he sees that you, with a little, just a little work and a little pressure, you're going to cave in, guess what? He's going to say, come on, boys, bring some more. We got someone on over here that we can punk out. And they will jump on, they will gang up on you. And you need to stand your ground and say, no. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to give this body to sexual immorality. Amen? I'm not going to give this mind to corruption. I'm not going to think on, dwell on, look on things that are evil. Amen? I'm not giving myself to evil. I'm giving myself to righteousness. I'm giving myself to Christ. Amen. And it's every day. See, God warned Moses in Israel on Mount Sinai in Exodus 34:12, he said, listen, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you're going, lest it be a snare in your midst. See, the compromise will bring a snare in your life. But you shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. The word is Kana, Jehovah Kana, jealous God. Well, the godly jealousy. How many know He purchased us with His own blood? He has a right to us. Amen. How many ever got jealous over your mate before? I hope you have. If you never get jealous over your mate, there's something wrong. There's a right kind of jealousy and there's a wrong kind of jealousy. Amen? There's a wrong kind of jealousy. It's a jealousy where we say, you know, that's not fair. He got a bigger piece of cake than I did. He got a promotion before me, and I've been here longer and working harder than they did. Come on, that's a wrong kind of jealousy. You know what? Sometimes an injustice is a test. God allows an injustice just to show what's in your heart. What you're going to do about it? Well, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and praise the Lord. Thank God for what I do have. Thank God I even have a job. And then God sees your attitude is right. He says, okay, I'm going to do something even better for you. You know God can do that. Do you know that God can put you in the first of the line? It doesn't matter how many people are waiting for that job. If your ways are pleasing to Him, if you've proven yourself during the test, God can say, okay, we're going to bump everybody. We're cutting line here. He's going. Some of you are really quiet about that. I hope you believe that. Your Father's got connections. I mean, He is the connection. And the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He can turn it anywhere He wants, like the water brook. Amen? Your Father can do it. He can make a way for you. But He will allow injustices. He will allow things at times, not because He did it, but because He knew that people were going to do it. But He'll turn that into a test to see, well, what are you going to do? It's not so much what happens to us as how do I handle it? You remember what they did to me? You remember what they said about me? Come on. It's how did you handle it? Oh, we've all done that. I've done that. And then God says, well, I guess we're going to have to repeat this one again because you didn't learn that time. Oh, I hate that. And so He was warning Israel here not to intermingle with the pagan nations or the nations that worshipped other gods for the very reason that their sons and their daughters were going to start following after their gods. We're not to be yoked. You know, marriage is a very intimate thing. It's a very spiritual thing. Amen? Where you're connected to someone. And thankfully, in the Lord, you can sanctify your family if you walk in right with God. Amen? Your family can also be sanctified, at least during that time while you're together. So if you have an unbelieving husband or wife, if you stay in right relationship with the Lord, amen, they can also have the blessing flow out to them. And there can be harmony in that relationship. Obviously, the best thing is that your spouse is sold out, amen, with you. But you know, through our example, who knows what God will do in time. If we continue to live before them, in a way that pleases the Lord. See, God wanted to drive out the inhabitants of the land. And He knew that if they begin to intermingle with them or compromise with the enemy, that, well, basically you're in bed with them, so you're not driving them out. And if you don't drive them out, they're going to become a snare. How many know the same thing is true about sin today? Amen? And even relationships today. That if we don't deal with the problems as we're faced with them or the things that the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us, if we just try to, you know, compromise or rationalize what we're doing, then it becomes a snare in our life. It's only a little sin, you know. It's only a little gaze at the pornography. You know, everybody else is doing it besides. Nobody ever woke up one day and said, you know what, I think today I'm going to become a drug addict. No, it started out with the compromise. Doing something even that your body's telling you, this is not good for you. You know, the first time you smoke that cigarette, your body's trying to tell you something, right? And nobody just woke up one day and said, I think I'm going to get addicted to nicotine, or I'm going to get addicted to pot, or, you know, and one thing leads to another. Sometimes people are full-blown addicts. Well, they never just decided to do that. It started out with compromise. You know, the same thing is with sexual sin. God has placed boundaries on sex. Sex is a beautiful thing. It's not an evil thing in the covenant of marriage. It's a beautiful thing. The problem is that we don't listen to God and we decide to do things our own way. And whenever we do that, well, it becomes a problem, doesn't it? Because let me give you an example. One day you wake up to realize that you're addicted to porn. Huh? How many know that if you're married and you're looking at porn, you're committing fornication, amen, or adultery in your heart? If you're single and you're looking at porn, you're committing fornication. Not only that, what does porn do? Porn cheapens a soul for which Christ died. It just puts them into the category of a piece of meat to lust over, are you hearing me? Rather than a precious person, a precious soul. So a little bit of, you know, glancing over here, looking at that, besides nobody will ever know. I'll just go to church and I'll say, God, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Are you hearing me? Or I'll go to confession on Saturday night and ask God to forgive me, and then the next week I'll be right at it again. Pornography becomes an addiction, and it destroys marriages, it destroys families, it destroys the soul of the person engaged in it. Pornography is an evil. It's an evil thing. How about, one day the person decides, you know, they're going to indulge in sexual sin, and they wake up one day and they realize that they have a sexually transmitted disease. They're diseased now. They woke up, at first it was fun, and now their life is splintered and in shambles, and they're heartbroken. Because there is a use for sex within marriage, and it is whole. If it's holy, it's good. You've heard it said before, but you know a wood stove is warm and cozy as long as that fire's within that stove. But you get outside of the bounds of that stove and you've got a blazing house fire. Amen? And that's what sin does. There are boundaries that God has placed to protect us. The enemy is a corrupter. He's a perverter. He always takes what God has established and twists it and tries to get us to buy into it. Why? Because he wants to destroy people. How about pride? Pride is huge. Pride is behind us about all of this, isn't it? Behind all sin. Pride is being arrogant to think that I can do things apart from God or against God's command. How about people who compromise their values for acceptance and popularity? This has been the downfall of many. And then when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with our hearts because of our pride, well, we don't want to lose face. We don't want to admit when we're wrong, so we try to sweep it under the rug. Pretend everything is okay. All the while that lump is staring at you, and eventually you're going to trip over it. Another compromise, and I'm going to this is the last example today, is people dabble with witchcraft or having their fortune told or Dungeons and Dragons. Even Harry Potter and a lot of this stuff is blatant witchcraft that's being propagated to children to poison and pollute and eventually to infest our children. Dabbling with the occult. I'll go see the fortune teller. I'll call the psychic hotline. Oh, what the heck? I'll have my palm read. What's the big deal? No hurt, no harm. Well, because you're dealing with demons, you're not going to the living God. You're getting into idolatry. You're going after other lovers. You're going after other gods. And dabbling with the occult. And guess what? The devil promises power to those who will follow him. Hey, if you start doing witchcraft, you can start casting spells on people. And you can get people to do what you want. You can manipulate and you control people. You can use it on your teachers. You can use it on boys. You can use it on girls. And all this sounds so enticing. I can be my own God and be in control. And the demons, at first, they bow down to you and make you think that, yeah, we're with you. Whatever you say, we're going to do. And one day you wake up and the demons are now attacking you and tormenting you. And they are controlling you. Are you hearing me? It starts out with a little compromise. God says, stop it. Forsake it. Repent of it. If you're looking at anything like that or indulging or allowing your children, watch out what you even let them play with. The toys, their gargoyles and their demons and things like that that they make now to be cute little playthings. But I'm telling you, folks, they're not cute little playthings. And many of these toys even now, and you can go online and check it out, there's people that are in the occult world, into witchcraft and Satanism, that are putting spells, they're putting demons attached to these toys, and they're sending them out, and your kids are playing with them, and your kids are all messed up, and you don't know what's going on with Johnny. But Johnny needs deliverance now, because Johnny has been subject to these things. And you need to take these things out and burn them. Yeah. Don't even throw them. In the book of Acts, it says that they came and they threw all their stuff, their trinkets and their omelets and all that stuff, egg omelets, on the pile, and they begin to burn it. They repented of their sin. They said, we're done with idols. We're going to serve the living God. That's repentance. Salvation is today. Today God is calling and challenging men and women, boys and girls across the earth. Today is the day of salvation. If you will hear His voice today, you can be saved. If you will hear His voice today and you will forsake the idols of your heart and the idols of your life, then God will have mercy on you. He will forgive you. He will establish you and He will bless you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You see, the enemy is not as intentional, but the enemy is slick. He's subtle. He slips in, folks. So we've got to pray for discernment. God, give me discernment. If there's a problem in your home, say, God, what is it? Seek Him, pray, and God will speak to you. God will show it to you. We've gone into homes where people are having problems with their children before. You know, nightmares, couldn't sleep at night. And we go and just pray, Lord, what's the source of this? And Jesus is especially keen to this. And we'll go in and there'll be some kind of thing. Oh, a little cute little Buddha that we got when we were over in Asia or whatever it was. These are idols. These are things that demons attach to. And you bring them into your house and it can cause problems in your home. And you know what? You may have family members that say, well, you're not going to tell me what to do. If you're under my roof, I'm going to tell you what to do. If you're under my roof, you're not going to have that kind of garbage in my house. Why? Because for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. And we need to be parents. We need to step up to the plate. And if those kids don't want to cooperate, then hit the sidewalk. Are you hearing me? That may sound like tough love, but you've got to protect yourself and your family. Because when we compromise and we pet sin and we say, oh, it's no big deal, we'll just kind of glaze it over. Do you know Jesus said you are the salt of the earth? He didn't say you're the sugar of the earth. He said you're the salt of the earth. And do you know that we're killing people with kindness? We're killing people with sugar. Because we're afraid to offend anybody or make somebody upset. They're not going to like me if I tell them the truth. But if you don't tell them the truth, you're not loving them. Are you hearing me? If your child's playing in traffic, you love them enough to pull them out of it. And you're not going to compromise in this house. If you're in this house, you're going to obey. There are rules. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about Samson. I love Samson because there are delayed consequences, you see. We just feel like, hey, nothing happened, so maybe nothing's going to happen. Did you know that they say that AIDS sometimes takes 15 years before a person realizes they have it? Something that happened 15 years ago, that was just... And all the time they're just having fun and they're out spreading it with everybody else. And everybody's got this disease and they don't even know it. And it takes that long sometimes for it to come to fruition. Be sure that your sins will find you out. God loves us. He gave us His Word to protect us. He gave us His Spirit so that we can know Him, that we can enjoy Him, that we could walk in Him in new life, that we could simply walk in a relationship where we know Him and we do those things that please Him because we love Him and we know His love. Not because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble or I'm going to get a disease. It's because I love God that I serve Him. Amen. And if you don't love God, it must mean that you don't know His love. Are you hearing me? If you don't love God, really love God today, then you don't know His love. And God says you've got to open your heart and you've got to let my love come in. You've got to let my love come through the door, amen, of your heart. So that when you know my love, you will love me. Amen. You will serve me. You will bless me. You will want to honor me. You want to love those who love you. When you know His love, you will love God. Would you bow your heads? Do you know God today? Do you know His love today? Have you just been practicing religion or practicing church and once in a while go to church and you talk to the man upstairs? It's not enough, folks, to talk to the man upstairs. You need to have the man in you. You must have Christ in you. You must be born of His Spirit. If you're born of His Spirit, you will become a new creation. The things of your life will change radically. God will radically begin to change you. Your mind, your thinking, everything about your life will be transformed because the Spirit of the Lord has come to dwell within you. You become His temple. And Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door," would you open the door today and say, "Jesus, I want you. Come into my heart, Jesus. I want you to save me. I want you to deliver me from evil. I want you to forgive me, Lord, for all my sins and all the things I've done of the past, God. I want this guilt gone, Lord. I want to have a clean slate. I want to have a new beginning, Lord. I believe you died for me, shed your blood for me. But Lord, I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you, God. I want to know you. Come into my heart, Jesus, and reveal yourself to me. Make yourself known to me, Lord. And I will seek you." The Lord said, "Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." We need to be saturated with Him. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not give in to your fleshly nature, your sin nature. You will walk in peace. You'll walk in joy. Life is good in the God zone. Oh Lord, I welcome you. Amen. To my heart, in to my heart, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "To those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out." Lord, help me to live for you every day. If you receive the Lord today, then you need to tell somebody, share with someone. And you need to get into the Word of God, and you need to connect yourself with a Bible-believing fellowship. People that love God. Don't compromise the Word. Father, we thank you for this day, for this moment, for your grace is abundant and free. Truly, your grace is amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Father, my prayer is that you will give your people, including myself, discernment. To know right from wrong, good and evil. Even as, Lord God, you gave Solomon a wise and understanding heart that he would be able to discern between good and evil. May we also, Lord, continue to follow in that, to listen to your voice and to forsake all idols. And may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shalom. Peace of the Lord be with your spirit.